The How Not to Suck at Divorce podcast cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information provided on the podcast and the resources available are not intended as and shall not be construed or understood to be legal advice.
You don't need an excuse to leave a marriage. If you're unhappy, that's your fucking reason.
And this is How Not to Suck at Divorce.
Can you believe we are at the season finale of season 3 of our show? What the hell? This felt fast.
How did we get here? I mean, season 3 already? I can't even believe this.
I know.
I'm proud though.
Me too. We have really accomplished so much. And it's weird to like look back and think like, wow, this whole thing started with just an idea and realizing that, you know, people needed information and they also deserve to be entertained and feel like they're not alone. And we threw it up. We had no idea if it would be popular, what the response would be. And like, holy hell.
Yeah, exactly. We're here.
So excited. And friends, don't worry. We're not taking a long hiatus. We're just taking a little itty bit of a break. Because we have some projects that we're working on during that time. And then we're coming back to you. We are hoping to be live again starting July. So just a little moment break. But we are going to be bringing you episodes every week. We're going to be replaying some of our favorite episodes. And we'll still be providing bonus content that will be fresh up on our Patreon channel. And now I got to talk to you for just a little sec about something I've been obsessed with lately.
I love this segment because it brings about things that we didn't even know we needed.
Things that we're literally obsessed with.
All right.
So I'm going to show you. Tell me, do you have any idea what this is? No, it's not gross. It's not gross. It's not gross, Morgan. What is it?
Well, a lot of inappropriate things come to mind that I don't feel at liberty to share with the world on this podcast. And now you're sucking it. This is getting super awkward.
Okay, but what is this? Can you tell?
It looks like, okay, so what I'm looking at, everybody, if I'm doing the PC version of what it looks like a popsicle, but it's in Andrea's drink and she keeps pulling it out and licking it. And the drink kind of looks like a margarita. So not quite sure what's happening, but there's also some other shapes that you may be able to draw upon if you're hearing me.
Okay. What Morgan is trying to say for those of you who don't have baby ears is that it looks like a dip, but it's not. It is a popsicle mold and I am obsessed. I've never made homemade popsicles before. I missed that part of my childhood.
Who are you, Betty Crocker over here?
Girl, so everywhere they sell these popsicle molds. You can get them at like Target, you can get them at Home Goods, wherever. Like they sell fancy ones like at Williams Sonoma and Sur La Table, and they're so easy. So my kids and I made homemade popsicles, just like blending up fruit with a little bit of water, add a little bit of sugar, put them in these molds, freeze them fine. And then I thought, because I'm so smart, I could do versions of these with less sugar that I can throw into my cocktail for like a little extra something.
And so it's 2:56 p.m. Are you admitting to drinking at 2:56 p.m.?
Put me on blast. I don't care. We're recording our season finale. I thought, you know what? I just got done doing a whole bunch of work and I'm going to have a little drink, which it is typically a little bit early for me, but I don't care. This is
so part. We're celebrating. We're celebrating. Yeah. But I apparently didn't get the memo, so I'm kind of having a phone call.
I know, I'm sorry, because it just happened last minute. I was on the phone with a mom friend, and we were talking about plans that we're going to do over the weekend, and I started to think, like, oh, I just want to do that right now. And then I thought, what's stopping me?
I'll just start drinking. I'll just do it.
I'm just going to go for it. So what you're looking at is it's a little bit of limoncello with sparkling water and then a lemon pop that I made. It's just, I literally just lemon juice, water, and a little bit of sugar. And it looks like a beautiful dick in a glass, but it's not. And it makes me very happy and I'm kind of obsessed. And if people are listening to this in real time, we're coming up into summer.
Wait. Can you please take a photo of your D in a glass? Just so that when we do our promotion of this episode, it goes on to the reel because it's important.
To you, you know what it makes me think of is that SNL sketch, like Dick in a Box, right?
Yes. She's taking a picture so you ladies can, and gentlemen can see it on the Instagram. On the gram.
I'm sure all of our male listeners are just going to be salivating at hearing this story. They're like rolling their eyes already. They're like, say it one more time, you loser. No one cares about your dick in a glass. But I do, and there we go. Okay, so let's talk for a secchi about this guest that we have today, because it's really cool. It's exciting.
It's funny because I think the way that it came about and having her on the podcast is kind of funny because I'm probably the least Instagrammer or Instagram worthy of the two of us. You are fabulous. I am not so much. But now, because I'm in this divorce world more than I ever have been with this podcast, I swear everything on Instagram is divorce related. And one day I open up my Instagram and I just got sucked in by this woman. She was awesome. She's adorable. She had a story to tell. And she has this fabulous podcast, and not to mention many other things. And so I sent her to you and I said, hey, have you ever seen this girl? This person is pretty awesome. We may want to have her on the show.
Right. And I wrote back and I'm like, yeah, I know who this girl is. Like, she's huge. She's a real heavy hitter in our category. She's written books. She's like a two-time best-selling author. Her podcast has over 2 million downloads. She's incredible. And I love her story. And I thought, you know what, if we could find a reason to bring her on, then I'm all about it. And then the more that we recorded this season and the more that we started talking about just really listening to what everybody needs and wants to hear, I realized that there is a need right now for people to see some light at the end of the tunnel. And so I thought, you know what? I think this guest is the perfect person to give us a little light. So get excited. We're excited. This is going to be such a beautiful way to cap off season 3 of How Not to Suck at Divorce.
All right. So I was in a conference with a client the other day who looked at me with these exhausted eyes and said, Morgan, am I ever going to be happy again? And unfortunately, I get those moments all the time. And even though I personally have not been divorced, this is my line of work. And I see people at their absolute worst. And I totally get it. You feel so horrible. You feel so tired and so frustrated. You wonder truly whether this is your forever.
Because in that moment, it feels like it's your forever. That's what's so frustrating is that, I mean, having been through that, it's so hard to see that that you're going to be in a different place at some point because you are completely consumed by the pain and the frustration and the stress. So I'm really excited because obviously you all know I went through this and our guest today went through this as well. And in fact, she made an entire career out of talking about these feelings to help other people feel less alone. So for our season 3 finale, we have Gabrielle Stone on as our guest. She is best known for her Eat, Pray, Fuck My Life podcast, which has over 2 million downloads. What the hell? Jesus, Morgan, you and I need to step up our game. She also wrote a book called Eat, Pray, Hashtag Fuck My Life, and has a journal called Fuck Off, I'm Healing. By the way, guys, she is a 2-time best-selling author, and she is here to share her story and give you all some light to look forward to. Gabrielle, welcome to How Not to Suck at Divorce.
Hi, I absolutely love the title of this podcast, and I'm happy to be here.
I'm excited that you're here. This is just so, so cool. So thank you so much. I know that you go through your story all the time, and I'm sure that at times it feels like, oh, God, I got to do this again. And I'm sure it also feels surreal, because I know that at least telling my story feels surreal. So If you don't mind, can you give us the Cliff Notes version of your backstory? So let's start with just you. You grew up performing, right? You grew up acting.
Yeah, I grew up as really, I was dancing and playing sports and having a pretty normal childhood, but my parents were both in the industry. So my mom is Dee Wallace, who is best known from being the mom in E.T. and the woman in Cujo and a bunch of 80s horror films. And my dad was also an actor and a director. So we traveled around a lot. I got to experience life on set, but other than that, I had a very normal childhood. My parents were always like at my soccer games and my dance recitals, and it was very normal family life. That all kind of came to a screeching halt when I was 6 years old. I walked in and found my father dead on the floor from a heart attack, pretty traumatically. The first instance where I picked up this subconscious belief of when I love someone, they die, and in turn, fear of abandonment. That was then reinstilled in me when I lost my high school sweetheart at 18. And again, it was the when I love someone, they die, fear of abandonment. So I was walking around with this big subconscious fear of abandonment all my life. And that really was dictating the way that I was attracting people into my life without me knowing, obviously. So cut to, I meet this man who everyone's like, oh, she's finally happy. He seems like such a great guy. We get engaged after 8 months. We're engaged for 2 years. We get married. We have this beautiful wedding, go on this great honeymoon, and everything seems really picture perfect. About 2 years into our marriage, I found out that he was having an affair with a 19-year-old for 6 months amid a lot of other inappropriate extramarital affairs. Mm-hmm. And I filed for divorce and left. Shortly after that, I met this pretty well-known Hollywood actor, and we fell really madly in love with each other and just went from zero to 100, like, meet my family, I'm going to have babies with this person, like full fairy tale bullshit. And he invited me on a month-long trip to Italy. 48 hours before we were getting on the plane, he told me he needed to go by himself and broke up with me. And I was absolutely devastated. This man broke my heart like my ex-husband never could have done. And I was sitting on my bed in my childhood bedroom at my mother's house, because that's where you move when you're 28 and get divorced. And was like, okay, I can either stay at home heartbroken or I can go travel Europe for a month by myself. So I took a backpack and I did 6 countries over the span of a month. And I wrote the book, Eat, Pray, Fuck My Life.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, so you're making lemonade out of lemons, clearly.
We are.
Oh my goodness. That is a lot. I mean, there's so many things. I'm trying to figure out where I want to start. But I'm going to start with what I know best, which is the legal issues related to your breakdown of your marriage. So tell me, I mean, when you left, when all this was going on, I mean, was it bumpy? Was it pretty easy for you to leave your marriage? Give us the details there.
You know, I had been pretty unhappy for 7 to 8 months in my marriage. I didn't understand it was because he had been sleeping with someone for 6 of those months. But we had been going to therapy. I had been putting all this effort and work in. He was doing really nothing on his end, and it was really frustrating. And I realized after the fact, when I met the man after, whose name in the book is Javier, through falling in love in that relationship, I realized that I was never truly in love with my ex-husband. I loved him, but I married him because he was safe. So Subconsciously, you know, I had loved my dad so much and he died. And I loved my high school sweetheart so much and he died. So then when I met my husband at the time, I was like, oh, subconsciously, this is safe. Like, he won't die on me because I'm not fully in love with this person. So
they'll just be with a 19-year-old. No big deal. No big deal.
Right, right. Yeah. But so by the time I found out about the affair, I had been unhappy for so long. I wasn't in love with him. It made it very easy for me to walk away. And I'm very thankful for the cheating and for everything that I was able to find out, because if there wasn't something so drastic to give me that out, I would have stayed in that relationship for so much longer, trying to make it work and going to therapy. And we took these vows and we just had this big wedding. And I felt so much guilt for wanting to leave. And I feel like we as women go through that all the time. And it's a societal thing that gets put on us. Like, you don't need an excuse to leave a marriage. If you're unhappy, that's your fucking reason. Like, you can walk out the door just with that. That's the only thing you need. But for me at the time, because we had just gotten married and it was so new, and like, my mom had like worked her ass off to give me this dream wedding. And like, I felt so much responsibility to really stay and try and make that work.
It's interesting you say that, because it's true. I think Andrea and I did this whole episode on something that you just mentioned, which is so many people in a divorce that find themselves in that situation for so long are unhappy, but they think it's them. They think something is wrong with them. Mm-hmm. And some people, I even have had clients that were like looking into facilities for mental health or rehab or something, because they're thinking, I'm so unhappy, it's got to be me. Mm-hmm. Thankfully for you, when you realized that he was cheating, that was your snap out of it. Like, this isn't me. But a lot of people don't have that snap, you know, legally, they don't. And so it's just interesting that you're saying exactly what we have been talking about.
Yeah, I think it makes it, there's so many different emotions that go into divorce. There's the guilt of you wanting to leave for whatever reason that is. There's the shame of what people are going to think. There's the embarrassment of having to like tell people that you failed. And I went through all of those emotions. I know now from my healing and being on the other side of it all, that that's all bullshit. Like, none of that matters. I can't tell you one person in my life or in his that looked at our situation and went, oh my God, that's so embarrassing. They all went, oh my God, thank God she fucking left his ass. Like, wow. And it becomes, I feel like when you can switch your perspective on certain things in divorce, it can be empowering as opposed to shameful.
Agreed.
There are a lot of women who have gone through what you've described as far as like, no, having a feeling that there's something wrong, but they can't quite put their finger on it. Right. And then they mm-hmm. find out like, what the fuck? Are you kidding me? This is what was going on. But they don't leave immediately. Mm-hmm. They go into this place of like, oh my God, like, well, maybe I can fix this. Maybe there's something else that I haven't been doing that I can do. And you didn't go through that, it sounds like, which is so interesting. And I'm wondering why you think that is.
Well, I know that when we were in therapy, like the things that he was bringing up were, even to our therapist, ridiculous. Like, it was like, okay, I need more sex. And which is like such a fucking, of course you do. and we were having sex probably like 2 to 3 times a week, but he wanted like twice a day, 50 Shades of Grey style. And I was like, dude, like, even if I was married to Channing Tatum, which let's be clear, you are not, that wouldn't be happening. Like, it's just like, I'm working, I'm on set, I'm busy, like, I'm tired. Okay. But that was one of the requests. He was also a sports coach, and I was known in that community for being like the wife that always showed up to all the games and like traveled to all the tournaments. And it was like, well, you don't really support me enough. I want you to come to the practices. And it was like, I mean, do I ask you to come to auditions with me? Like, that's fucking weird, but okay. So I started showing up and like bringing coffee to the practices. And like, I was doing everything that this man was asking me to do, that we were talking about in therapy, to try and like fix the marriage. So I think I went through a little bit of that during that time, but I'm pretty ruthless in my life with people. My circle's very small. I have been known to kick people out of my life for a lot less than cheating on me. When people cross my boundaries, like, it's just, we usually don't come back from that. So for me, like, when I found out even about not the physical cheating, but like the, you know, sending pictures and like inappropriate text messages and stuff like that, that was enough for me. Like, I was 99% sure I was out the door at that point. I just needed that last little push. And when I found all the evidence of like the physical affair, I was like, okay, we're done. And I think that people need to take a step back, and obviously each situation is different. But for me, it was like, if someone is going to do this and disrespect my emotions, disrespect our vows, and disrespect my body in that way, why would you want to fix something with someone like that? Like, there are plenty of people who are going to show up for you and take care of you and respect you in such better ways. Like, I think that's why we get stuck in certain toxic relationships, because we allow our bar to become so low and to not hold those standards for ourselves for whatever reason, whether it's, I don't want to be alone, or I'm, you know, don't want to have to start all over, or I feel safe in this relationship, or, but we have really great sex, like whatever it is, it's, we rationalize it in our head. When if you set the facts out on a piece of paper, you'd be like, oh, this is bullshit. Like, this is so much less than what I deserve.
It's funny you say that, because I've had a lot of people who come to just talk to me, and they're not really there for a divorce. They just, they want to know what I think in general. And, you know, I try to be as neutral as possible, because I think if people can save their marriage and be happy, that's the best route. But what I do tell them is exactly what you're saying. I say, why don't you write out a pro and a con thing, a list that shows exactly, like, pro could be all the happy times, the things that you remember in like the last year, things that you love about the person, but also the cons can be things, times that the person made you feel, you know, less than adequate, times that you didn't feel supported. And if the list is much longer on the cons, you really have to evaluate where you're going in this marriage.
Totally. I've had so many people say, well, it should be like a 60-40 split. You know, like if you're happy 60% of the time and you're unhappy 40% of the time. And I'm like, that's a shitty percentage split. Like, I don't agree with that at all. Even 70-30, I'm like, my current relationship now with my husband, I would say is like 90% happy, 10% not. And 8 of that 10% is bullshit with his ex about co-parenting drama. And like 2% is us actually not being happy. Like, relationships don't have to be hard, and they shouldn't be when you're in the right one. Are they work? Do you need to like come together and like work on things? Of course. But it shouldn't be that difficult. So if you're in a marriage where you're like, it's just fucking sucking your soul out. Like, look, I get it. Sometimes it's complicated with finances and with kids. Bottom line, that is not worth your happiness in the long run. So whether it's going to be a shit year while you get all that figured out and get back on your feet, and it's going to suck for your kids at the time, it's going to suck for your kids longer if they witness their parents being miserable and unhappy in a marriage, because they pick up on that energetically, whether you're fighting in front of them or not.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot. And I think something that you were pointing at before is the difference between truly being unhappy because you're not in a good partnership for you, and just having problems, because there's always going to be problems. But there's a major difference between, is the energy, do I have positive energy when I'm around this person? Like, overall, when I think about this person, do I light up, or do I go inward and think, ugh, you know, like I used to describe it as, do you have a yummy feeling or do you have a yucky feeling? And if you have a yucky feeling, then you don't really need any other fucking reasons. That's enough. Yeah. And I think that it's tough because we do tend to want to get really analytical about it, and it shouldn't be that complicated, but life is hard. And we do. And I think a lot of times as women, we do go to that place where, especially women with childhood trauma, we initially blame ourselves. But there's something that I did here, and I got to go into fix it mode. So, I mean, for what it's worth, proud of you for not doing that beyond, once you found out like what was really going on, that you were able to like rip off that band-aid and say, enough, I'm not doing this.
So my question is back to the divorce game. So you find out all this nastiness, it, you know, yes, you leave, is, but when you have these nasty facts, did it make your divorce more complicated, or was it pretty straightforward?
Well, I thought, you know, with all the proof that I had, that I was just going to be able to go in, hand it to a lawyer, and it was going to be like, well, obviously, like, she's in the clear with all this. California is a no-fault state. So they don't really give a shit who's doing what with their penis on the outside. They're like, we don't care. Why do you want to get divorced? Irreconcilable differences. Great. Let's move on. I hired a family law attorney who was like, you're going to at least be paid something by him for spousal support. And you will probably get half of like this specific savings account because of like the amount he was spending on his affair partner. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I'll like pay an attorney to like get me out of this in the best way possible. Cause I was broke. When I was like, okay, now we're like splitting, going our separate ways and I have to like pay an attorney. That did not happen. I did not see a dime from that divorce and sunk like 20 grand into that attorney. He of course hired a criminal justice attorney, to work for him as a favor. So he was paying nothing and was dragging everything out. Like it should have been so easy. We had no assets together. Our cars were leased. Our house was rented. Like it should have been so cut and dry. And he just dragged it on and on and on to the point where right before we were finally getting ready to like get the papers drawn up, we get an email from his attorney that's like, well, he'd like the ring back. And I was like, bro, you can tell him I already sold that shit to pay for my Europe trip. So don't know what to tell you. Like, I mean, the audacity.
Oh my God. I want to talk about the Europe trip because that seems to be like the real turning point in your story. So before we get to that though, you mentioned before how deeply your heart was broken by the man that you kind of got swept up in. And we hear about that all the time. So
you have no idea how many messages I get. That's like, what's up with the guy after? Why did that fuck me so much harder?
What do you think that is?
You know, I wish I could say it was like a rebound situation. For me, it was most definitely not. I mean, I know from being, you know, in the spiritual healing realm that like that was a karmic relationship that came in to really be a catalyst for me to go like, I mean, I left to Europe as like an actress, a struggling actress in LA, and it shifted my career to best-selling author. So this was kind of like a big catalyst of my healing for me. Kind of circling back to the subconscious, you know, fear of abandonment that was running my life from the traumas I had when I was young. Relationships come into your life to mirror something within you that you need to fix or heal or deal with. And so I was subconsciously attracting people into my life that were going to play out this abandonment fear to me. So I attracted my ex-husband who abandoned me in like the most heinous way possible. And the universe was like, okay, cool, Gabrielle, are we ready to go heal this? I was like, no, I'm good. I'm going to go over here. Hi, Javier. Attracted him into my life who abandoned me, which it's like almost comical when you think about it, 2 days before we were getting on a plane to a trip that he invited me on. Mm-hmm. And the universe was like,
wait, okay, was your bag packed? Was your bag packed?
Oh, yeah. Fully packed by the door. Oh. Yeah. 2 days. The universe was like, okay, cool. So are we ready now, Gabrielle? And I was like, all right, fine. I guess we're going to go figure this shit out. And it was by going across the world to learn how to be okay by myself and be alone, which was always my biggest thing with fear of abandonment. So it wasn't until that trip that I really was like, okay, enough with the men, like, let's figure out why the fuck I'm attracting these people. Because I get DMs all the time of women being like, I got cheated on. I'm always attracting these assholes, da 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 da. And you don't deserve that. But if there is a pattern in your life, damn sure there's something within you that is unhealed that is attracting those men or those people into your life so that you can wake the fuck up and heal that. And people hate to hear that because they're like, no, I don't deserve, like, I've just had shit luck with like 5 men cheating on me in a row. No, bitch, I love you, but you're attracting that so that you can heal some shit within yourself. So I had to take accountability and be like, okay, what the fuck is going on with all of these people abandoning me in my life? And how do I need to show up for myself to heal and fix that so I can attract other people in the future?
So how did you do that? Like, what? So you're wandering around Europe alone with a backpack. First of all, that sounds like fucking hell on earth to me because I also being alone. So I would it gives me anxiety. But what did you do? Like, where did you start? Like, talk me through that because it sounds terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, it was terrifying. The only thing I knew about hostels was that there was a horror movie about them and people get brutally murdered in that. And
I was I'm sorry.
Oh,
That's where you were staying?
Yeah. Oh my God. Hostels get a really bad rap, guys. They're like adult summer camps. Like, it was the most fun I've ever had in my life. They're like little Airbnbs. You just stay with other people. we've all seen Taken. I was like, am I really about to go do this trip by myself? So I started in London because that's where our tickets were booked to. I luckily have a friend that I went to high school with that lives there. So she was like, you can crash with me. And I booked everything when I was in the city that I was in. So I was really like flying by the seat of my pants. I was in London. I'm like, all right, I guess like, let's go to Amsterdam next. Booked my ticket, which is not how I usually live my very type A self life of planning everything to a T and researching everything to death. But it really served me because it allowed me to just be in the moment and be free. But to answer your question, solo travel will change your life. Like, everyone should do it. Just trust me, as scary as it sounds, just go do it. But being by myself on that trip and seeing how capable I was alone and how okay I was alone and really finally being alone to be able to meet myself where I was every day and not have the distractions of friends or Netflix or, you know, any of the things that we constantly like fill our space with. And just being by myself was such a healing experience because it allowed myself to really like discover who I was and like go inward and figure out what the fuck was going on and what I needed to fix and what I needed to heal. And the biggest gift I got from that trip was knowing that I'm never truly abandoned because I will never abandon myself. So I can really get through anything. And that realization alone shifted my entire, you know, perspective in my healing journey.
Just amazing. Wow. Truly amazing. When you were doing this, what were the things that came up? Like, were you unpacking all the shit? Like, not just from Javier, but also from your marriage, your childhood. Like, did you just feel like things were like bubbling out all the time? Or was it just more like, kind of like more like in a nuanced kind of way you were picking things up?
Oh no. I mean, there were days where I like wouldn't leave the place I was staying and I would sit and I would write for 5 hours because I was writing the book on the trip. Like, I bought my journal the day before I left on the trip and I wrote 3/4 of the book by hand in that journal. So there were days where I would just sit and cry and write and stuff would come up and I would realize things and discover things. And there were days I would go out and party and like sightsee and see the city. Like, it was very up and down, but I had the freedom to do that and allow myself to be in those moments because I was by myself. So I didn't have to be on anyone else's timeline. It was like, if I want to cry and be in my feels today, I'm going to do that. If I want to go out and like get drunk and meet some people, I'm going to do that.
So did you set off on, when you set off on this trip, was your intention to, or your plan to write a book, or did it just kind of come to you?
No, I knew the second I found out I was going on the trip by myself, I was like, I'm going to write a book about it. I saw the whole plan like very, very clearly. I was like, I'm going to write a book. It's going to be a really big deal. It's eventually going to be on screen. Like, I saw the whole 10-year plan.
That's the gift right there, right?
I just knew it was what I was supposed to be doing. And it felt very in line with my journey. Which is crazy because I was not a writer. I could bullshit the hell out of an English essay in high school, but like, I was not necessarily a writer. So this was very just like, I felt like this was what I was supposed to be doing in my soul. And it was very healing for me. There's a difference when you're physically writing with a pen and it's coming out, the emotions are coming out of your body onto a piece of paper, as opposed to like sitting there typing. I wrote the whole thing in 2 months flat, which I can tell you from writing the sequel is wildly fucking fast. so it was something that just like needed to come out of my body.
I like hearing that. And I think that those moments where we realize like, this is why, are so beautiful. I mean, I think like I've had them too, because, you know, for those of us who have gone through a lot of shit and a lot of trauma, you keep wonder sometimes like, why is this happening?
Yeah.
What the fuck for one person? And then you have that moment and you're like, okay, this is why. And there is a gift here and there's something that I can do. And that's just so empowering.
And there's always a reason, and not in the toxic positivity, like everything happens for a reason, but like it does, you just have to be wanting and willing to see it. Like I can look back at the biggest traumas and heartbreaks and deaths in my life and be like, okay, yeah, that sucked. But like, I see why that happened and what it did for me in my life and how it shaped me and changed me as a person, and like get the positives out of those things. But you have to be willing to see it. Sometimes it takes a little bit of perspective. I knew the second I found out I was going on this trip by myself, I was like, this sucks and I'm heartbroken and I want to fucking crawl in a hole and die. However, at the same time, I was like, but of course this is happening because it's going to make me go face all this shit head on alone and figure out how to be by myself and be okay with that. So it made sense to me in the moment.
It does make sense. I mean, so give us the lay of the land, because I'm thinking to myself, our listeners are probably like, oh my God, you got a divorce. You met Javier, who sounds like a real gem. You were like so into him, so into him. He leaves you high and dry. You get your heart broken like five times over with Javier. And then, yes, you go to Italy, but my understanding is now you're married again. So how do you trust again to even start going to that next relationship?
Yeah. So after Eat, Pray, FML came out, my readers that were discovering it, and I say this lovingly, were berating me to be like, what the fuck happened after Europe? Like, we need to know like what went on when you came home. And I was still living that. Like I never wrote the first book with the intention of writing a sequel. So I was still kind of like going through a lot of the stuff that was going to eventually make it into the second book. I did end up writing a sequel that's called The Ridiculous Misadventures of a Single Girl. And that book starts like right where Eat, Pray, FML leaves off and goes through 2 years of my life. So it's a lot longer of a time span. Eat, Pray, FML, as ridiculous as it sounds, was over the span of 3 months of my life. So from finding out about the affair to meeting Javier, to getting broken up with and coming home from Europe was like 3 months. And it was just like back to back to back insanity. So the second book is a lot longer. And in that second book, you meet my current husband, although it was not an easy road for us to get to where we are now. But you see kind of the journey of how I learned to trust again and opened myself up again. I get that question all the time and people are like, I just don't know if I can ever like be in another relationship or trust or open myself up again. And my answer is, if there was ever a time for me to close my heart off and be like, we're closed for business, everybody fuck off, I'm done, it would have been after I found out my ex-husband was having an affair. Like that would have been the time. And if I would have done that, I wouldn't have met Javier, wouldn't have fallen in love, wouldn't have gotten my heart broken, wouldn't have gone on this trip, wouldn't have healed all this bullshit that I needed to heal to fix my own self and life moving forward, wouldn't have the career that I have now. I would do all of that 10 times over to end up exactly where I am now. So my answer is, you always keep your heart open. I mean, obviously don't walk into a fucking carnival full of red flags with your eyes shut and be like, no, they're green, it's fine. But like, always keep your heart open. Always say yes if the universe is pulling you in some way. You're either going to end up heartbroken and you're going to learn a bunch of fucking lessons and it's going to change you as a person and evolve you into who you need to be, or you're going to be wildly fucking happy. Either of the two are well worth it. Life is too short to not take risks and say yes to love.
Gabrielle, are you happy now?
Beyond. And all of that was due to what I went through. I don't think I would be as happy in another timeline if I would have stayed with my ex-husband, or even if I would have stayed with Javier, or if I would have not written this book or had this career. Like, I would not have been the person that I am today, and I would have not been as happy as I am today.
So then what's the lesson here from your perspective? Like if somebody handed you a microphone and said, congratulations, we're giving you a TED Talk. Here's a room full of sad people. Go inspire them.
I think the main message is no matter how dark it may seem with what you're going through right now, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. You just have to believe that it's there and you have to keep going, because once you get there, it will be more magical than you ever could have imagined. And it's so fucking worth it.
Oh, I love that, because I always tell my clients, where you are now is going to be so different than 5 years from now. And you will make more mistakes in life. You will, you know, have really high times in life. But in 5 years, I usually see clients come back to me and they are happy. They are calm. They are through it. So, but I want to know from you, I mean, what's next for you? You've accomplished so much. What's going on next on your list, personally and professionally?
Well, personally, I am 6 months pregnant. So we're expecting a little boy pretty soon. And we're like very, very excited about that. We just moved into a new house. And it's been very exciting just for like family time. And professionally, we're in the very early stages of starting to bring the books to the screen, which I can't say too much about, but we're starting to take that journey. So that's the next like big checklist item. I'm really just trying to get a free trip to go back to Europe for a while.
Can we come too?
Yes. Open invitation. And then, you know, I have my podcast FML Talk, which airs every Wednesday, which has really become like an extended part of my community where people show up for like therapy with me every Wednesday. And it's something I never thought I would do, but something I'm so glad I chose to get kind of forced into, because it's been a really great way to continuously help people and make them feel like they're not so alone going through all this.
It's such a great story. And I think, you know, I was saying this before you joined us at the top of our show, I was telling Morgan how important it is that we are able to give people that light, because so often on this show, we are in the trenches with people. We're giving them those like little action steps. This is what you need to do now. This is how you put out this fire. This is how you do this. And in all of our support groups that we have and with all the people who reach out to us, so many times they say like, am I ever going to be happy again? Like, is this my forever? And I mean, we get it, because it feels, the pain is palpable, you know, you can see, you feel it when you're sitting there with them. So I'm so appreciative that you shared this story and to help give people some light. I want to ask you about this journal that you now have.
Yeah. Okay.
So what is it? Is it Fuck Off, I'm Healing? Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So I'm not a journal person, because journals feel like work to me, but I want to be a journal person. Like I really, and I buy them and then I'm like, ah. So
yes.
What's the layout here, and how, like, tell me about the journal.
Yeah. So I made this journal for people like you, because it's sometimes daunting when you open a blank journal and you're like, okay, cool. I'm just supposed to write. Like, what the fuck am I writing about? And everyone that was reading the books and tuning into the podcast was like, I'm getting all of this amazing information and having all of these ahas, but I kind of need like someone to hold my hand and like walk me through my own shit. So the journal, really, it's a step-by-step guide to healing all the bullshit that life has thrown at us. It's not only surrounded around heartbreak, although there is a section in there for it, of course, but there's betrayal and forgiveness and toxicity and grief and like all the different things that you probably have picked up some beliefs or some shit around throughout your life. And there's different questions in each section that prompt you to really start kind of free writing around those specific topics, and then eventually get you to a, okay, this is what you got to, here's what we're going to do to redirect and heal it. There's also like little stories in each section. So you feel like you're kind of like hanging out with me while you're going through this. Each section's paired with a song on a playlist that you can listen to. And there's also some healing techniques that I write about in the books, that I go kind of more into depth on that you can adapt and, you know, do in your everyday life to get to some subconscious shit that we want to clear out, and ways that you can show up to learn to love yourself. It's kind of like a one-stop shop to like start here to fix your life.
We all need that. And I, you know, it's funny, before you even came on, I was talking to our listeners and I said, the reason that we invited you on this podcast is for some reason you popped up on my feed, I'm sure because of all the divorce things that we talk about. You caught my attention. I watched you for a minute. I was like, I like this woman. I like what she's saying. It goes with the way that I deal with my clients. And I sent you to Andrea and I said, hey, we should reach out to her. We should have her on. So the fact that you're here is awesome. We loved having you. We loved hearing your story. But tell our listeners, if they want to find you and they want to find your journal and they want to find your books, where do they go?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for inviting me. This has been lovely. The books are exclusively on Amazon. The first one is Eat, Pray, FML. The sequel is The Ridiculous Misadventures of a Single Girl. You can also get them signed by me in a bundle on my website, which is eatprayfml.com. The journal is also available signed on the website, or you can get it on Amazon. It's called Fuck Off, I'm Healing. And the podcast is FML Talk, and it airs every Wednesday. And then I'm on Instagram at Gabrielle Stone and TikTok at Gabrielle_Stone.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I'm sure our listeners will have loved this episode.
Absolutely.
You're so welcome.
And friends, as always, there's going to be direct links in the show notes to all of these. So do not feel like you have to pull your car over to write any of this stuff down. Wow. I loved this conversation. This was awesome. And thank you so much for giving our listeners some light at the end of the tunnel that we all know they need.
I promise it's there, guys. And it's so fucking magical. So keep going.
Okay. Talk about ending our third season on a high note. I mean, she just said it. She told everybody, you're going to be okay. And that's what I say. If you do it right, you're going to be okay. So we're not going to end with any fan mail, because I can only imagine the amount of fan mail we're going to get after this episode, because she's lovable. I mean, she's likable. She's lovable. She wrote this awesome book. I mean, I feel like I need a journal, and I'm not even getting divorced.
Holy shit. If Gabrielle just convinced you of all people that you might need a journal, then.
Even if I just draw pictures in it, I mean, maybe that will help me get through my day.
This was, I mean, honestly, I have nothing more to say. This was absolutely everything that I wanted to bring people. And I'm so glad that you found her and you sent her my way and that this whole thing came together, because giving people something to look forward to is exactly what is so necessary. Because guys, we get it. We know that this is hard. It's obvious. You wouldn't be listening to this show if getting divorced was a walk in the park. We are here to support you. We're here for you every single day. The good days, the bad days, the really bad days. Keep listening to this show. Go back and listen to old episodes while we're on hiatus. We're going to be bringing you some of our best of episodes every week. We're only going to be gone for about a month, and we will be right back here with you. We love you. We appreciate you. All of the emails and DMs we read, I hope that we have responded to every single one. And we just so appreciate you being a part of the How Not to Suck at Divorce community.
Exactly. And remember, divorce is a marathon. It is not a sprint. And you will get through this. And that's what we're here for you. If you like our podcast, leave us a review, send us a message. We respond to everybody. And remember this, you may feel like you don't have this, but you do. And we've got you.
For more support, please join our private communities on Facebook and Patreon. The How Not to Suck at Divorce podcast is executively produced by Andrea Rappaport.